A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So remember, professionals are expensive, right? I'm not going to sit here and say hiring a diverse attorney is cheap. Not cheap. Will it potentially save you $100,000 in the future? Could, if you ever need the document and it works. Hello, and welcome to Planicious Podcast Future Itch. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty. And I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And today is a solo episode. So what I want to talk about today is relationships and your money. So I have seen just a theme lately in people leaving relationships by choice or not by choice, but having a relationship change and that having a tremendous impact on their finances. And I just always really wish for all of you that you would do a cohabitation agreement, a prenuptial agreement, or, you know, if you're already married, you could do a postnuptial agreement. And the reason why is because having those conversations in advance and having it all documented in advance makes it so much easier should the relationship not work out about how you're going to handle splitting, dividing assets, and dealing with a lease and or real estate, for example. So with a cohabitation agreement, the reason I think it's important is as you get in a lease in a high cost of living city, it's not always that easy to find alternative housing or to be able to maintain that lease and then pay for another living situation. And so this is what you want to talk about in advance, right? And you want to talk about it when everyone's getting along and in love and happy. And you don't want to be talking about it when there's a problem. And now, you know, if you break up, you don't want to live together. That's not healthy. So what's the plan? How do we handle this? Does your lease allow for subletting? Is the other person going to allow the subletter or give you a problem about that? All of those things, in my opinion, need to be discussed in advance, especially when it's not that easy to get housing in certain cities. And then additionally, it's the same sort of conversation that I think you need to have before you get married about how are you going to handle the assets? How are you going to handle the debts, right? Because some people come into a marriage with debts. How is that going to be handled? And then God forbid the marriage doesn't work out. How do you unravel this legal entity? So this is a legal entity. And all of that is so important. And so we're in the process of booking a divorce attorney. So if you have any legal specific questions regarding cohabitation, prenuptial agreements, and or divorce, right? How do things work in a divorce? And I can kind of speak to the financial aspect here in a second. But specifics to divorcing, right? Because that's a legal process as well. Let us know because we're in the process of booking a divorce attorney. So somebody who specializes in that. And remember, just like a CFP, right? Like I have my specialty and within this world, other advisors have their specialty. It's the same thing with lawyers. There are general practice lawyers that kind of do a little bit of everything. But then there's also the specialty, right? Like divorce, estate planning, medical malpractice. There's all sorts of specialties. So that's why we have to find more than one professional depending on the topic we're talking about. So we are searching for a specialty with divorce so we can have some more specific questions. And just if you have questions, send us a DM so we can gather them for when that episode is going to record. But from my standpoint, as the financial professional, what I like to see is that this is all discussed in advance when everybody is getting along and you're doing it with love, right? And then rather than waiting and, you know, the idea is you put it all together and that you never use it, right? And in life, especially as an adult, there's a lot of things that you work on and that you put together and that you hope you hope you never use. And one big one of those is life insurance. I have life insurance. Oftentimes, I will talk to people and say they probably need life insurance or might want to consider life insurance. And the hope is that you don't use it. And statistically, as a youngish person, I don't know if I would say young anymore, but youngish person, statistically unlikely, right, to pass away. But I still have life insurance. I'm more statistically likely to end up divorced if we were looking at the odds. So it's crazy to me that people get life insurance. Also, people get homeowners insurance, right? Like, I'm sitting in a house, I have homeowners. The odds of your house burning down are pretty slim for this to be completely burned to the ground. Can it happen? Absolutely. Statistically unlikely. The most likely thing that will happen to me would be a divorce, statistically speaking. And so, and for that's true for other people, right? Like, if you look at the statistics of divorces in our country, depends on whether it's your first marriage, second or third, right? It depends on what age you get married. There's a lot of factors, but the statistics are, it is a possibility that people, when you get married, that you could have a divorce happen in your lifetime. Not choice. Because remember, it takes two people to get married. It only takes one person to say they want to get divorced. If one person decides they're done with the marriage, I mean, can't force somebody to be married. As far as I know, maybe we'll confirm that with an attorney. Maybe there's a state where, like, no, you're not allowed to get divorced. But as far as I know, if somebody, one half of the partnership wants a divorce, you go through a divorce. So that's the interesting thing, too, because I guess I had maybe naively thought before I went through my own personal situation that if both of you agree to be in the relationship, then both of you will work to save the relationship and stay in the relationship. And that's not my experience. It's just one party can say, I'm done, and walk out and leave. And then you have a breakup and a divorce or the ending of a domestic partnership or what have you. And so given the statistics around it, I think it makes sense for everyone. I believe that everybody should have these documents before going in to a relationship, mainly if you're both getting married at, we'll just say 18, nobody has a penny and nobody has any debt. You're both at 000, then maybe you don't. You can also confirm that with an attorney. But otherwise, I think you should have these documents in place to prevent future heartache, frankly, is what it comes down to. You know exactly what would happen in advance. It's all outlined about how you want to divvy up assets, who keeps the house, who doesn't. Does someone pay child support? Do they not pay child support? Is there alimony? Is there not alimony? It's all drafted. It can be drafted however you want. Like, I completely customize my prenuptial agreement because obviously I would never sit here and say you should have a prenuptial agreement and not have one. So I have a prenuptial agreement that I worked on with my husband. We had separate attorneys, which is what you have to do. But it was a bit custom. And even the attorney was like a little surprised by some of the language I put in it. But I see this stuff happen all the time. So I have strong opinions about how it should be divvied up, how we should be benchmarking for returns and so forth. So anyway, I'm a huge believer and I've been seeing some really unfortunate situations through the podcast and in my own life about what I would say like were preventable problems, like problems we could have circumvented with some better planning. It's just that people don't think about it. And so for instance, like in my case, I'm a CFP, I make recommendations for clients all the time on all different sorts of things. And definitely a recommendation I would make to a client about to get married is like, you should have a prenuptial agreement and you should go see a good family law attorney and get one of those drafted. And so I think that sometimes you don't know where to go, but you always want to look for the specialty. You always want to get a referral, right? And make sure it's somebody you trust. And it is a bit hard to vet these professionals, but there's a way to do it and there's a way to find someone you feel comfortable with where you feel like you're getting a fair price or a comfortable price in the ballpark of what it should be. And then I think having these documents, like all the other documents, I think are just invaluable at preventing future heartache and future problems for yourself. And having watched it so much happen so much this year, I just want it to have a little refresher for all of our new listeners that when you engage in a legal contract with another person, you should also be having the financial discussion with them. Because if you're going to be partners, which is getting married, signing documents together, you should also be having the conversations about your finances and how that would be split. And if you go to sit down with a future partner and you can't get through these conversations, then to me, that's a very big red flag. Like, you should be able to sit down and say, okay, if God forbid we got divorced, what is happening with the house? How would it work if you stayed home with kids and I didn't? To me, all of this should be like planned out in advance. And obviously you don't know what the future holds. It's impossible. We don't have crystal ball, but you adjust, right? But you at least have the layout for the existing situation. And then you can adjust as you go, as life changes or life looks different than what you had planned for. You just adjust these documents. So, but if you can't, and I've heard this before, like sitting down and figuring this out was a nightmare. We're not speaking. Like, those are things that I think need to be addressed before you become legal partners together, right? Before you guys are an entity. And I don't want to say that marriage is a business because it's not, but from a legal standpoint, it's similar to engaging in a business venture with somebody. Because you're tethered to each other and your decisions impact each other, right? And if you're owning assets together, both names are on there, right? So you can run the risk of maybe, I watched a TikTok video, which is insane, that the one spouse didn't know the other spouse was like spending all of this money and like accruing all of this debt. And not that you can't inherit debt, you can't, but if things are in joint name and you don't know and your name's on it, or you're not looking at what you're signing, like there can be bad actors out there. You can be married to a bad actor and not know. And all these things can happen, right? Like, and I see worst case scenarios, but my point is you want to be able to have open and honest, authentic financial conversations before you become a legal entity. And if you're unable to get through those conversations, to me personally, that would be a red flag. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out. So I think you should be able to have those conversations of like, how do you feel about paying down debt versus saving? What happens if we get a bonus? How would that work? You should be on the same page. You don't have to be the same. Obviously, in marriages, we often see opposites attract, but yin and yang can balance each other out. So don't have to be identical, but you just have to be on the same page and be willing to have these open and honest conversations. And there should be nothing to hide, right? You're going to become a legal entity anyway. So I feel very strongly about having the right documents in place, like I do for estate planning. It's another one of our episodes. I think you should have all your estate planning documents. I also think you should have this aspect figured out as well, whether that's a cohabitation agreement for yourself, a prenuptial agreement, postnuptial agreement. And if you're unfortunately in the situation where you're going through a divorce, there are ways around splitting up assets. The thing that we use in the financial services industry is a quadro, which is a qualified domestic relations order. And that allows us to split up your retirement assets, divvy those up without having the tax consequences. You need a divorce decree for assets that aren't part of the quadro. The quadro is a legal document for certain assets. So there are ways to do that to handle divorce. But one of the complicated things that we're seeing right now is a lot of people locked in low interest rates with mortgages, right? And now how are you going to handle if, God forbid, you're getting divorced and you have a great mortgage, but it's based on two people? So that's something we're going to discuss in further depth when we have the attorney come on. But I just wanted to jump on and talk about it because I've just seen it. And I think a lot of these problems are a bit preventable if you have the right documents in place in the beginning. Also, if you do the right planning. So like, the one example I'll give you, just like so you can hear it, there was a woman and she inherited a family house, right? So it was an inherited house. So it was in her name and completely free and clear, like no debt. And she got married And the husband said, well, I will feel more comfortable if my name's also on the house. Okay. She said, she put his name on the house, did not get advice on that decision. He then decided to leave her for somebody else, and they got divorced, and this is horrible. And she had to take a mortgage out on a home that she had previously owned free and clear to buy her husband, ex-husband, who left her, out of a house that was a gift from her family that he never bought or put a down payment on or paid a mortgage on. So it was free and clear when she was gifted this property. It was in her sole name. So had she gotten some advice, which yes, she would have had to pay an attorney to do her prenuptial agreement. She would have listed all of her assets for the attorney. He would have listed all of his assets, none. And the attorney would have most likely made the recommendation, you should not put your spouse on this house because then it becomes a marital asset. Depending on state, remember, we have to depend. Depends on where you live in state, how these laws work. So I will give that disclaimer. And I'm also not an attorney. But in this instance, this individual woman had to take a mortgage on a house she owned free and clear to buy out her husband who left her, all because she added his name to the property. Because he asked. That's it. Just because he asked. So that's one example of how this can go really awry really quickly. Because in a marriage that is a legal entity, by putting his name on the property, there's another legal entity. So these are things I'm seeing right now, and I hate seeing it. I hate seeing people make what are little small decisions at the time, a small decision, no big deal. I'm just going to add his name to the house. Wait a minute. That is a massive, massive, massive deal. Huge deal. Worth hiring an attorney for $1,000 an hour to get an opinion on that, to see what the ramifications could be for that. So remember, professionals are expensive, right? I'm not going to sit here and say hiring a divorce attorney is cheap. Not cheap. Will it potentially save you $100,000 in the future? Could. If you ever need the document and it works. Like this woman and getting a prenuptial agreement with the said previous spouse before they got divorced. Let's say that ran her, at that time it was years ago, say that ran her $2,000. Well, would have saved her $100,000 for the $2,000. A good return on investment, I think. So these are the kind of things that can happen. There's like a slew of these on TikTok, I think. I think one was the one girl, she was young. I don't know what her name was. But she basically said, oh, I don't know how you could end up this way or whatever. And this other woman came on and was like, well, no one plans to get divorced. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to get married. And then I think I'm going to have a really shitty time in my 40s. And I'm going to get divorced and have to start at zero. No one says that's what I want, right? No. These things happen, right? Nobody wants them to happen. But we can't control the divorce happening or not, in my opinion. But what we can control is you starting at zero at 40 because you didn't have the right documentation when you entered the marriage. We can't. That is more preventable. So I want everybody who's sitting here who's in a relationship, A, and living with somebody, to consider a cohabitation agreement. If this relationship doesn't work, how are we getting out of this? Like, who's keeping the lease? Who's paying? Are we breaking the lease? Are we subletting? What does that look like? So cohabitation agreement, and those are some of the things you should be talking about. I'm also fine if you don't formalize it with an attorney. I don't know how enforceable it is. I'm not an attorney, but I think you should just have these conversations. And then if you are engaged or wanting to get engaged and going to get married, and I know some of our listeners are engaged, so you should 100% be considering a prenuptial agreement. And if you don't think you need one, tell me why. Send me a DM and tell me why you don't think you need a prenuptial agreement. If you are already married, especially if you're recently married, you should also be considering getting a postnuptial agreement. And if you're on the unfortunate side of things where you're getting a divorce, send in your questions because we're going to have a divorce attorney come on to answer questions. So if that's your situation, that is terrible, and I'm sorry you're going through that, but send in your questions via DM, and we will do our best to answer them when we have on the divorce attorney. But I'm looking at you all who just got married or who are planning getting married. Prenuptial, postnuptial agreement, super important. And you can customize it. I just want to be very clear. It's not, you talk to the attorney and you stay, like, what's important to you? So, like, for instance, what's important to me is I owned a bunch of businesses before I met my husband. Those are my businesses. That's not a marital asset. And I wanted that carved out. When I was in my 20s starting businesses, my husband was not around. I didn't even know my husband. I have no idea what he was doing. but I can tell you that he was having a great time and I was not having a great time starting businesses. So to me, those needed to be carved out. We have specific language on that. We did other things to protect him in the marriage so that he feels financially secure. So you can customize it. I want to just be very clear, like sit down and figure it out one-on-one. You should not be figuring this out and having this first conversation with an attorney, right? Attorneys, just like me, have billable hours and are expensive. So have the conversations in advance, and you don't need an attorney to be the mediator, you know, ask the questions. You should sit down one-on-one, you and your spouse, future spouse, over tea, over coffee, over a glass of wine, and say, okay, this is a business venture. It's kind of this. What happens if it doesn't work out? What happens for the spouse that decides to maybe have children, stay home, take a back seat for their career, for the children? How does that look? What happens there? Because I'm sure you guys also saw that, I think Marcus posted it. If I can find it, we'll repost it for this episode. But the woman was staying home, had a baby with her spouse. And I forget exactly what it was, but I was like, astounded they hadn't discussed this in advance of having a child and getting married. But basically he was still charging her like rent or mortgage, but she had an unpaid maternity leave. It's like, wait, what? You just birthed a child, like your child combined, right? 50-50, like you both child representative of both of you. And I think he was still charging her either rent or mortgage, and she had no income at the time. So I was like, these are things that should be talked about, in my opinion, in advance. Like, you shouldn't find out that we'll just say in this case, I don't know if it was a husband, but the husband is expecting you to make equal financial contributions to the household and you have an unpaid maternity. Well, that feels impossible. And in my personal opinion, feels unfair. So, like, these are the kind of conversations you should be having in advance, right? And then, like, oh, I'm going to work part-time while I care for the children. Well, how does that impact your retirement? Like, are you not saving then? Is that going to be made up for you? What's your protections with that? So these are all the sort of things that I think need to be discussed in advance and can be all inside of a prenuptial agreement. Like, it can involve all of this. Like, you have to get paid back your lost retirement contributions if you don't work and your spouse does. Like, there's so many ways you can go. You can design whatever prenuptial agreement you want. The world is your oyster when it comes to designing it. But what I'm telling you is don't design it at the lawyer's office. Design it at home or in a coffee shop with your significant other. Hash it all out. You both think it's fair. Then go to the attorney and say, this is what we've come up with. Do you see any problems, any suggestions, anything we've missed? And they will put it in the proper formatting, in the legalese, that's state specific for you. And then they'll tell you like, oh, actually, you didn't address child support or you didn't address alimony, and they'll fix it. But you should have your basic idea of like what you want to discuss with the attorney. And if you don't have it as specific, here are some ideas. How will you attribute any, I guess, appreciation of assets during the marriage? So that's one thing to think about. Anything that you bring into the marriage previously, will that stay separate property or not? So like, are the names good? Like, let's say you both have a house when you come into the marriage, two different houses. What are we doing with that? Are they staying separate? Are we selling one and taking money to put into the other house? Like, we're going to put an addition over here, right? So property assets coming into the marriage, appreciation of property and assets during the marriage. And then what I think is super important, because as we all know, women take a huge hit for caregiving during their working years, right? Whether that's caregiving for children or caregiving for elderly and aging parents, right? What happens to the person who has to prioritize the family for a caregiving reason? The reason could be children. The reason could be a parent. Like, I've seen instances where one spouse takes care of the other spouse's parent. It doesn't necessarily need to be your parent. What if you take a step back to take care of your spouse's parents? So what happens to that person? How are they protected from a retirement, in my opinion, retirement standpoint? And also if the marriage were to dissolve, like let's say they stepped out of the workforce to take care of said spouse's ailing parent, they're not going to go back in at that same salary band probably. So how is that all resolved? Those are just some talking points to get the conversation started. If you're listening to this and like, oh, we probably do need to sit down and figure this out, right? Any real specific questions, anything specific to the legal aspect of it, please send those in regarding cohabitation, prenuptial, postnuptial, and divorce. Remember, we will put together all those questions. You can send them on our website or via Instagram, and we'll just keep track of everything. But I just want to reiterate how important it is to sit down and have these conversations in advance when everybody is happy and in love and getting along. And then you do this, you pay the attorney, and then you put it away, and then you hope you never need it, right? And it can prevent a lot of future financial heartache. So that's all I have for you today. I hope you have an absolutely wonderful weekend. And don't forget, if you like the podcast, please subscribe, hit that plus button, and share with a friend. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.